Well, thank you very much. Happy New Year. Let's tell 2008 what we really think of it. I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. And I have God's favor in my life. In Spanish, yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré. Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer. Y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. Give yourselves a hand. Nothing like starting the day out with a few positive attacks on you know who, huh? You know, that's right, he's always creeping around, trying to make you get down, but we don't want that, do we? No, God's Word is what makes us aware of all the good and all the bad, so that we are well equipped to live our lives more than abundantly. And so that means we always have to go to God's Word. For everything. You are absolutely helpless and hopeless without God's Word. Well, you already know that. So we go to God's Word so that we're not helpless and we're not hopeless. And we stay that way day after day. That's what's kind of amazing about God's kids. They're not helpless and they're not hopeless. Ever. It's a good thing. But there are some people out there who have life without God. Now, you may have your perspective on what those people are like. For instance, you might say, ew, I don't want to be around them. Or, ew, they're ucky. Or, ew, they're not very nice. Or, ew, and then you can just build your own list, right? But God has His say in the matter too. Personally, I'd rather know what God says about life without God than what anybody else says, because God's Word is truth. Now, what does this do for you? If you know what God's Word says about life without God, it will help you when you are around people who live their lives without God. Pretty simple, isn't it? We lose sight of the grandeur of our lives. We lose sight of the misery of unbelievers' lives. We just forget. I mean, you don't think about it that much. Sure, you're around unbelievers. Sure, you're around believers. But it's not like you just drill yourself every day on what they have and what they don't have. Well, there's a slight problem that comes in if you don't stay aware of what people's lives are like if they don't have God. You forget that you're the one that's supposed to help them. You forget that you're the one that has the ability to help them. And you replace the godly actions, the things that God would rather have you do with those people, with things He'd rather you not do. Like come up with your own opinions, maybe treat unbelievers badly, maybe cop attitude about people, when in reality you ought to try to help them. Everybody else might be laughing at them, but you shouldn't laugh at them. So it is important to understand and to remind yourself of what people's lives are like without God. Now, Ephesians chapter 2 helps us with that. You'll find that in Ephesians chapter 2, it's not loaded with personal opinion. It's not loaded with a bunch of of emotion. It's got some pretty solid fact in there. And that's really what we want to understand. Well, let's go through this chapter and reinforce our understanding so that when we're out there in the misty flats, the valley of human need, no matter where we are, we can remember that we've got it made and they need our aid. Verse 1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." These people are dead in trespasses and sins. Life without God. Verse 2, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." These people walk according to the course of the world and the prince of the power of the air. Verse 3, "Among whom also we all had our conversation." That word conversation is an old English word, and it means way of life, the way you lived. "Among whom also we all had our way of life in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." These people, again, life without God, live by fleshly lust and desires of the flesh and mind. These people are by nature children of wrath. Verse 5, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." These people are dead in sins. Verse 12, "That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope," everybody say it, "no hope, and without God in the world." Everybody say it, "without God." That's right. So these people live without Christ, aliens from Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, they live without hope, and they live without God. Now, who are these people? Well, the people you work with? Some people in your own family? Your friends? The people you play soccer with? The people you play basketball with? Your electrician friends? It just doesn't matter. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. And you used to be one of them, but you're not anymore. That's a good thing. When you're with these people, think of this stuff. Verse 13, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." You were far off. Well, these people live far off from God. Verse 19, "Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." These people are strangers and foreigners from God. Wow. That's kind of amazing, isn't it? Kind of amazing. You have to come to grips with the fact that these guys go through things. They have to live their lives. They have to breathe. They have to eat. They have to work. They hang out. They function. But they do it without God. And so it's a building list of things that they probably wouldn't prefer, but they probably aren't aware that there's anything much greater available. But you need to be aware of that. We think we can think about the compassion of Jesus Christ. He was the most compassionate man that ever lived. How did he get so compassionate? I mean, he was just born like you and me. He was a man. The Bible says that. Well, something had to work in his heart and soul. Something had to work in his mind. He had to understand something. And he did. He understood the prophecies out of Isaiah. He understood what he was doing for people. If you understand what you could be doing for people, in other words, why they need it, it will help you become the man or woman that God wants you to be. Because he wants you to do a whole lot more than just do your 8 to 5, whether it's work or school, it doesn't matter. He wants you to be a whole lot more than that. Okay? Well, how about Ephesians chapter 4? In Ephesians chapter 4, we find more clues regarding a life without God. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. These people live by being carried about with every wind of doctrine. They never know what to believe. They live by walking with sleight. They live with cunning craftiness and deceit. Verse 17. Now, by the way, you see what I mean now? This is a lot better than your opinion. This is what God thinks. Well, I didn't write this book, but this is what he thinks. So you might substitute some of these things for some of the things that you think or feel. It's good. It really helps solidify your whys and wherefores, the reasons of your existence, the reasons why you would reach out and help somebody. How many of you guys reached out this last week to help anybody? You see, you should know your life. At least once a week, you got to do something for somebody, okay? I mean, really. God didn't give you all that he gave you just so that you could have it. He wants you to give it out too. Verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds. So these people live their life without God with vain minds. Vanity. Verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Oh, this hurts. These people go through this? Yeah, they've got darkened understanding. That's how they live their lives. They don't see the light, folks. They might act like they do, but they don't see the light. These people live their lives without God, alienated because of ignorance. Wow, they're alienated from God because of ignorance. Are you ignorant? I should say not. You've got the Word of God. You know it. You study it. You believe it. They don't have that. And these people walk their ungodly lives blind. Blind hearts. Verse 19. Who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Whew! They're past feelings, they have lasciviousness, which is a lust, and they're greedy. It has to do with money. Wow. Are you thinking that this might help you understand these guys a little bit? The next time you're out there with them, instead of feeling like you're like they are, or just treating them like run-of-the-mill folks, Maybe you could have more compassion on them. Ah, Jerry, wait a minute. You're pushing it. You don't know how many problems I have. I would like somebody to be like that for me. And then maybe I'll feel like doing something for somebody else. Oh, no. No, no, no. You're not going to corner me on that one. You already have been given God's abundance. It's up to you to use it and give it out. Don't wait for somebody to come up to you and give you some because you have it. That's right. Verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. That's all life without God. Corrupt old man by deceitful lust. Ooh, corrupt old man. That's not you. You're not a corrupt old man. Sometimes you might feel that way, but you're not. You're a new man in Christ. But these poor guys out there, and let's call them poor souls, because you're not really concerned about their bodies, okay? These poor souls out there, life, forces, beings, okay? Wow. Corrupt. It's just no good in God's eyes. And they operate, they live their corrupt old lives by deceitful lust. Now, what's lust? Lust means desires. And more typically, over-desires. And I've used the example for years, you know, you could have lust for sewing. I mean, it's anything. It's not just sex. In fact, it's often not sex. It's other stuff, you know. It's what you do most of the time. That's the corrupt old boys. Think about these people that you know. You know, think about you're sitting in your office or you're working in your job and, you know, you're maybe feeling a little miserable because you don't have the money that you want or you don't feel good that day or somebody said something to you that you didn't like. And you all go through this. You know you do. Or you're in college and you've got to take this one class that is just ridiculous. But if you're going to get that piece of paper, the diploma, you got to take that class. And so think about these people. And think about you. You don't have it so bad. They do. Oh, I know. The liberals today always try to get us to think that everybody's got to be treated the same, that everybody feels the same way, should look the same way, everybody acts the same way, and we've got to make sure they do if they don't, and on and on and on. But no, that's not the case. You as a Christian are way beyond other people. And you have to see yourselves as way beyond other people. You are not run-of-the-mill souls. Okay? Your life is not comparable to other non-Christians. It is just not. Don't even try. So when you're in your office or doing your job or in your classroom or wherever you are, running down the street with your buddies, playing on the field, you remember that they're the ones that more than likely are lost, hopeless, helpless, but you aren't and never again will be. Totally different mindset. So when you look at other people, don't think of them as you. And don't think of you as them. Get rid of that mamby-pamby, wishy-washy, liberal type of thinking. And get serious about reality. Life is a certain way. You have, they don't. You are They aren't. You have to think that way. Otherwise, you're going to be afraid to say something to them. Otherwise, you're going to be afraid to feel about them, to have empathy, to have compassion. You're going to just be Mr. and Mrs. Neutral. Okay? You're going to go around like a, what do they call those that don't have either sex? No. Eunuch. Yes. You're going to be a Christian eunuch. Okay? Ooh. Well, that's probably not good either, is it, Lynn? No, we'll have a talk about that afterwards. I can see it coming. You can't live your life neutrally. You've got to somewhere, somehow, take a stand. You've got to feel like Christ. You've got to act like Christ. You've got to talk like Christ. You've got to be like Christ. And that is not how your next door neighbor is. And that is not how most of your coworkers are, or your classmates, or your soccer buddies, or your basketball friends, or your electricians. No. They're not like you. And that's the truth. That's real. So get real in your assessment of those about you. Don't be afraid to do that. Beautiful, huh? 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Now, this is talking about Christians, not your neighbor next door. So they are liars. These people without God, life without God, lie. Christians don't have to lie. Okay? You can live a life without lying. But you got to be a Christian first. Verse 26. Anger and wrath. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. A life without God is filled with anger and wrath. Yes. That coworker has a lot of anger and wrath. Mm-hmm. Oh, they might subdue it so they can get their paycheck. But cross them later. See what happens. Don't do that. Okay. Verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. Life without God is giving place to the devil. Now, that's pretty black and white. But again, we're not interested in our opinions, are we? But we are interested in what God says. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. They're thieves and they're lazy. Now, maybe all of them aren't like this, and there's degrees in each one. Certainly, use your common sense. But this is what God says. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Corrupt communication exists in a life without God. Corrupt communication means words that don't build somebody up. They tear them down. Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Ooh, that's a little verse with a lot of stuff. People living a life without God have bitterness, wrath, anger, we already saw that, clamor, which means crying out in grief. Ooh, that paints a bad picture, doesn't it? Crying out in grief. Evil speaking and malice. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. You see, a life with God can be completely void of any of these bad things. Once you get born again, you can drop the old habits off. That's God's opinion. You have to work on it. These guys living a life without God live with fornication, all uncleanness and covetousness. Verse 5. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. These people living a life without God have filthiness in their life. They practice foolish talking and jesting. Verse 5. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. These people living a life without God are whoremongers. They're unclean, they're covetous, and they're idolaters. Verse 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Well, we covered quite a bit of things, didn't we? I'd just like to read those to you in summary. Living a life without God. What are these people like? And you used to be that way. But what are these people like today as you walk in their midst with the helping hand and with that love of Christ in you to extend to them eternal life? What are they like? Dead in trespasses and sins. They walk according to the course of the world and the prince of the power of the air. They live by fleshly lusts and desires of the flesh and mind. They're children of wrath by nature. They're dead in sins. They're without Christ. Aliens from Israel. Strangers from the covenants of promise. Having no hope. They're without God. They're far off from God. They're strangers and foreigners to God. They're carried about with every wind of doctrine. They walk with sleight. They walk with cunning craftiness. They walk with deceit. They have vain minds. Their understanding is darkened. They're alienated from the life of God because of ignorance. They have blind hearts. They're past feelings. They have lasciviousness. They're greedy. They have a corrupt old man because of deceitful lust. They're liars. They're angry people. They give place to the devil. They're thieves. They're lazy. They have corrupt communications, words that do not edify. They have bitterness. We saw twice that they have wrath. They have anger. We saw that before. They clamor. They cry out in grief. They have evil speaking. They have malice, which is about every form of evil. They fornicate. They have all uncleanness. They have filthiness. They practice foolish talking and jesting. They're whoremongers. They're covetous. And they're idolaters. Wow. Isn't that something? Well, take a breath. That's not you, is it? Just wipe your forehead, shake the sweat off, and go, whew, boy, am I ever glad. Gives a little meaning to confessing Jesus as your Lord and believing God raised him from the dead. I'd say, but there's more. There's more. There's more to the good side of things. Turn to Isaiah 45. You've got to put this into perspective. It's okay to know the list and to realize, yep, they're bad. Yep, they're pretty miserable. Yep, don't want to go down that road. That's pretty much a no-brainer. But what's your role? Why are you privy to this information? God didn't have to tell you. most people don't know. Turn to Isaiah 42, verse 5. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. There's the covenant. To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. That's what you're going to get to do. They are prisoners, folks. They are behind bars. God doesn't want them there. But they've got to choose to get out after you offer them the key. Now, Acts 26. Acts chapter 26 and verse 18. Paul speaking to King Agrippa, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. These are more things that you can do. Paul did it, and now we can do it. Daniel chapter 9. And the last thing I want to share with you is just a few tidbits on reconciliation, because that's what we're talking about. And maybe you'll have a different perspective on this whole thing as you're walking in the midst of people who live without God. Maybe this is the talk that angels get when they come down to do stuff. I don't know. They already know all this. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. What I want you to learn from this is that reconciliation brings in everlasting righteousness. That's what reconciliation is all about. So turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And this is where we'll close. I know you get beat up in life, folks. I know that there are days when you don't feel like doing much but trying to get your next breath. I know that's what life is like sometimes. But I know it's not always like that. And you've got to come to grips with the reality of what's coming down the road. You can't be so focused on what's standing before your feet that you can't look down the road. You've got to be able to look down the road. Sure, practically in life that's important, but what about spiritually as well? Yeah, I know it's tough out there, but I also know what the Word says. To open their eyes? How are you going to open their eyes if you think yours are always closed? To bring them light? How are you going to bring them light if you think you're always surrounded in darkness? You know, if life is that bad for you to where you feel like you can't break out of it, you need to break out of it. Because you're not behind prison bars like unbelievers. You're not behind prison bars like those who live a life without God. You might be behind prison bars, but there's something that Satan just kind of threw around you. And you can chase them away with the name of Jesus Christ. I've told my kids many times, if things get tough, just use it. Get off of me in the name of Jesus Christ. Say it. Just say it. Get off of me in the name of Jesus Christ. It really works. You've got to be willing to. But no matter what your chains feel like, they are not like the bars in the prison house of the unbelievers. Not even comparable. So when you're feeling down, your down is way up compared to the down of the life without God people. You gotta get the perspectives so that you don't drive yourself into a black hole. Because you can do that. You can sit there and think so badly about yourself that you feel just like an unbeliever. But you're never going to be like an unbeliever. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Keeping in mind that reconciliation brings in everlasting righteousness, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things new are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, made us righteous, and hath given to us the ability to make others righteous. With the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, or namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. What a great mindset when you're in the midst of the lifers without God. And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation, whereby we can introduce everlasting righteousness. Don't ever forget the depths of despair others are in. God has delivered you, but most people in the world are not delivered. When you walk among the tormented, remember their pains. When you walk among the defeated, remember their sorrows. When you walk among the downcast, remember their despair. Never look at the unreconciled as if they were righteous. They are not. Look at Christians as if they are reconciled. Remember the differences where you were in the past and where you are today. Life without God is nothing short of pure misery. No matter the masks, cloaks, or disguises, the only life worth living is life with God. And you have it. Take it to the people and help them. Don't curse them. Feel for them. Don't reject them. Guide them. Don't mislead them. Be God for them, until they can see God for themselves. Give them everlasting life and relieve them from their pains, defeats, and torments once and for all. Thank you.